Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate till they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, 'For this reason, I have told you, no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father.' Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you also wish to go away?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.'" The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So just another announcement. Our hymn of the day is going to be to an alternate tune. So while you're singing it, you'll recognize that the notes don't follow in the book. But you'll get it. So Jesus asks the disciples, "Does this offend you? Scandalize you? Cause you to sin?" What was so scandalous that he was saying that it would cause the disciples to sin, to fall away, to leave? Maybe it's that flesh and blood imagery. I mean, for us, that would be something that would make us maybe turn away, or at the very least turn our stomachs, because it's hard to think about eating Jesus' flesh and blood with that graphic kind of language. And although that is offensive and difficult to understand, I don't think that's what caused them to turn away. It's rather what Jesus says about himself in this long dialogue that we've heard for weeks on end. Early on, we heard Jesus say, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." And then he says, Jesus says that he is the bread from heaven that gives life. He says, "I have come down from heaven. Whoever believes in me has eternal life." And then in our reading today, what will you say when the Son of Man ascends to where he was before? Where he was before. These are more offensive to the people listening than that whole flesh and blood imagery, although that was gross. Because Jesus is claiming in these sentences that he is the one who has come from heaven. He's come from heaven and he gives eternal life. And that is the definition of God, the one who is from heaven and gives eternal life. Jesus is God. He's claiming to be God in this discourse, and the people are getting riled up. That's blasphemy. How could anybody say that? And the people cannot accept this grace, this gift, because they cannot believe that Jesus is God. He's a person, after all, a human. And so as the discourse goes on, or as the monologue goes on, the speech goes on, first, the leaders have trouble with this. They begin right away, "Oh, we hear what you're saying and we don't like it." And then this text tells us that the Jews, so a bigger group of people, have trouble with this and they're starting to question. And then in our reading today, the disciples question and turn away. Even the inner circle is struggling. And Judas is mentioned in particular here as the one that cannot believe this. He cannot believe this. it's such a difficult thing to wrap their minds around that God has come to earth, that is incarnate in this man, Jesus, that he must die. That's how offensive it is to the people listening. So this past week, Jan Daniels and I went to SIVA Ministry Leadership Training Course. And you'll hear lots about it over time because it was 6 days of 24 hours of learning. So a lot to share. But from that, as I was sitting through the week thinking about this offensive text, and Stephen from Stephen Ministry, I thought maybe his story applies to this story. So I want to look at Stephen a little bit this morning alongside this text that is offensive. So in Acts, we hear in chapter 6, "Now in those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists, the Greeks, complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the spirit of wisdom, who we may appoint to this task. While we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word.' What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and many of the priests became obedient to the faith." So we hear in this beginning of the story that Stephen is chosen along with 6 other people that we can't remember their names because we can't pronounce them. And we don't hear about them again. But we do hear about Stephen later on. And so Stephen is full of grace and power. He's righteous. He's going around and he's visiting with widows and sharing food, and he is preaching the gospel. And many people are coming to believe through him, and that riles up the authorities. And so they come to him angry that he's following Jesus of Nazareth and that he's preaching about him and teaching, and people are coming to believe. And so then Stephen gives a speech, a rather long speech, about what he is doing and who God is and how it connects into the faith of old. He brings in Moses and all these characters and teaches them about the story of God. And of course, he doesn't just leave it at that. He says, "You stiff-necked people." He starts to then not only just annoy them with the story about Jesus, he insults them specifically and gets them even more riled up. And so they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died, and Saul approved of his killing. So Stephen is out teaching about Jesus, about grace and forgiveness, about eternal life. He's taking food to widows. He's doing good deeds. He's truly a holy man, and the people that met him loved him. The gift of Jesus. Who wouldn't want that? I mean, life eternal, forgiveness of sins, bread of life. What a great thing that Stephen is doing. So who wouldn't want a man to feed widows? Who wouldn't want a man who cared for other people because his faith informed him to do so? Who would be against that? What is so offensive about Stephen? He's helping others because of Jesus, who was killed for claiming to be God. He's teaching widows and many others about this man who claims to be God. He then gives speeches that insult and call names. And he tells them, "You have seen the signs for centuries and you still cannot believe. You have seen God come out of the temple in the man of Jesus, incarnate, a human, and you still cannot believe." And so they begin to trump up charges against Stephen, just like they did against Jesus. They got people to lie about what he was saying. And then they brought him out to kill him, just like they would Jesus. And while that's going on, Stephen looks up into the heavens, and instead of saying something that would save his life, he says, "I see Jesus in heaven with God," just like he said he would be. And so they continue to stone him. And then he says, "Receive my spirit. Lord, do not hold this against them." It mirrors Jesus' arrest and death. Jesus is on the cross. "Don't hold this against them. Take my spirit." And Jesus dies when he says that, and Stephen dies when he says that. Stephen's life mirrors Jesus' life. Stephen's death mirrors Jesus' death. And so here we are, followers of this same man who claims to be God. And we come to this place and we are forgiven. We learn about Jesus and how to follow him. We learn to take care of widows, orphans, prisoners, each other, the world. We learned about peace and forgiveness. We're fed with the bread from heaven, Jesus' own flesh and blood. And then we proclaim and live this same word in the world. And people will be offended. People will be offended. Even other followers, even we are offended at times when this happens. When we model this behavior and reflect God's love in Jesus, it is too much at times. And so some people leave, and some people are angry. Some people fight back. Some people just pretend to believe. We're not persecuted per se, but we become a target for venom and ridicule. Just look at Facebook. And maybe we even scoff and minimize what Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. Communion's not all that important. This weeks and weeks and weeks of the bread of life is just kind of annoying or doesn't mean much. Scriptures tell us right out these teachings may cause us to sin because they are so difficult. But there's good news. There's good news. Good news that God teaches these teachings anyway. Jesus says he's the flesh and blood, that he is God. Jesus calls us through this difficult teaching anyway. In our weakness, Jesus says, "I will make you strong. And in your sinfulness, I will forgive you." Holy Spirit teaches and strengthens us so we can accept that Jesus is God, come to earth, so that we can accept that communion is Jesus' flesh and blood, even if we don't understand it or even want to listen to it. We eat it. We are the body of Christ. We love others as Jesus loves us. We are the kingdom. We are angels like Stephen. One of the things in the part I didn't read about Stephen is that when they looked upon him, his face looked like the face of an angel. We can see that in others in the community when we look upon them and say, "That's my angel," when they live out this story. And so we do like Stephen. We go into the community, we care for each other, we take care of the widows, we feed the poor, we adopt the orphan. We do all of these things in Christ, even though at times it's offensive, and even though at times it offends others and makes them angry. We do it. Because this man who claims to be God, this man who is God, lived on earth, died, and is raised to make it so. Amen. Amen.
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth,
I believe in Jesus.